Youth Focus, a series dealing with issues of interest to people ages 15 to 24. This week, Lynn Price and Jocelyn Sampson discuss youth culture.
Since the 1950s, youth culture has been inspired by the spirit of youthful rebellion. This rebellion of young people is reflected by their music and dress. It opposes the prevailing culture of society through avant-garde subcultures. Subcultures arise as an attempt to resolve collectively experienced problems resulting from contradictions in our society. Youth subculture is not a vague structural monolith, but is a complex kaleidoscope of several subgroups with varying ages and diverse styles.
I'm a skinhead. Yeah. Just like the foreskins.
Not really, just with the Bad Cave movement, that's all.
Well, yeah, I guess I'm a mod.
Do you call yourself a punk?
No, everyone else does. I call myself a dork.
I've never labeled myself as being a punk rocker, but other people have because of my haircut. But no, I guess you could call me a punk.
This is a mob mode.
In downtown Vancouver, Granville Mall attracts many young people. They meet to shop, see movies, or just hang around. Most are dressed in traditional favorites, jeans, or in the trendy fashions displayed in shop windows. The most noticeable are clad in attention-getting outfits and wear their hair in varying, bizarre styles. Youth Focus approached a large group of these youths who regularly hang out on the mall and asked them why they wore more unusual clothes.
I just dress like my own style. I don't copy anyone. I just make my own styles up. Attention.
I think it's a form of art. And I think it's good to dress how you feel and create your own style.
Harsh lack of money, and I rip everything I own because, you know, I'm...
Why?
Because I'm a punk rock. No, because I just do. Like, things don't stay together when they're on me.
No, it's politically oriented. It was a gradual progression as my politics changed, my attire changed. For me, it's just a way of visually distancing myself from a society that I'm very disgusted with. Basically, I don't think like the vast majority of people who are walking along Granville right now. Consequently, I don't want to look like them. It's an easy way, without saying anything, of making a protest. And it also gives me a bit of a podium when people stop and ask me why I dress the way I do. It's a way to discuss issues with them. Because I'm very upset with a lot of the things that I see happening around me. And I want to protest that. There's a number of ways I can do it, through political activism and so on. But dress is an immediate way. It draws attention to me and it draws attention to the causes that I involve myself in.
It's because of the bands I listen to. It's where I go. It's what I do.
Whatever their motives, most of these young people dress to draw attention to themselves. Sometimes this causes bad and occasionally violent reactions from others.
Yeah, I get bad reactions, but it doesn't bother me because, like, if they're going to put me down, they're, like, the real fools, not me.
I don't understand it, but I could see it from their point of view. But if they say things to me, I just think they're really low. And we wave and say hi and how's it going, haven't seen you lately and stuff like that, and you've changed, and freak them out. That's about all.
Well, I hate when they stare, you know, they might as well bring a camera because the picture lasts longer, right? Other people from, you know, the States and whatever, they come take pictures of us without asking, you know. When I was in Victoria, they asked, can I take a picture of you? And we said, sure, it'll cost you a dollar. So they give us a dollar and take a picture of us.
Well, I don't like it, but I've gotten used to it. And, well, it's kind of an ego boost, but it doesn't really affect me at all.
In the past month and a half, I've had 3 different people try to strangle me on a bus. Generally rocker types, Daytons, Harley Davidson belt buckles, who start asking me, why can't you be normal? Why can't you dress like us? Why don't you, you know, join the human race? And I just tell them I'll join the human race as soon as people like you leave it. And they do tend to get very angry. I normally play it cool, but sometimes I react. And then a lot of them get furious and attack you. It generally doesn't bother me, though, because that's what you'd expect from that kind of person. They're closed-minded. You just don't expect them to be able to accept anything different from the way they act.
Because of their unusual appearance, many punks find it difficult to get a job. Often, they will refuse to change the dress or hairstyle to get a job. Most believe it is pointless, as employment opportunities are few and far between.
It would be like maybe, you know, not a very good chance of getting a job anyways, so, you know, why change just, you know, like, so you can have a chance at a job? Probably won't get one anyways.
I think they might react the way my hair is cut. I know a few people have haircuts like this, but they wear, like, hairnets, and I couldn't handle that. But if I could find a job that would allow me to have my hair like this, I'd take it.
So you wouldn't change your appearance just to get a job?
No, I don't think so. Well, somewhat. Like, I wouldn't, like, wear, like, a three-piece suit, but I wouldn't dress in, like, big boots and ripped-up jeans.
Yeah, it does cause difficulty, but generally the places that wouldn't hire me are not the kind of places that I want to work at anyhow. Like, where I work now is very open-minded, so they don't mind the way I look, so it's a comfortable job. I enjoy it.
Youth subculture generates a form of collective identity that is achieved outside that ascribed by class, education, and occupation.
Dennis, 16, wears a skinhead uniform, a shaved head, jeans, and t-shirt. He is unemployed and homeless. Dennis lives out of his backpack and sleeps at friends' houses.
I've got my backpack here with me, so...
So where do you stay at friends' places?
I house hop mostly, yeah.
Really? Do you have a job?
No.
Panhandling.
Panhandling. Do you want a job?
Not really.
Why not?
Oh, it's great living in the streets.
Think it'd be hard for you to get a job?
Probably, yeah, because I don't have no social insurance number or anything. I have no ID. I'm just, you know, I live in the streets. I learn more in the streets than I do at school, so, or at home.
Many people like you living on the street?
I'd say about 60% of the kids nowadays are living in the streets. Yeah, I'm serious. Like, it's unreal.
Vancouver?
Vancouver, Victoria, all around. Yeah. So, you know, street's where it's at nowadays. Normality kills nowadays. I strongly believe in that.
Emma, 17, is from affluent West Vancouver. She has just completed high school and plans to attend the University of British Columbia in the fall. Despite her short, bright orange hair and creative dress, she managed to find herself a job and work like many other young people her age.
I work in a park, in a park play program, and I look after a bunch of 15 kids ages 6 to 12.
Do they like you? Do you like having orange hair? Do they like that?
My orange hair. They call Cindy Lauper. It's Cindy Lauper. It's Boy George. You look just like Boy George.
So they kind of like it.
Yeah. They play with my earrings and play with my hair, and they think it's really sort of amusing.
So is it hard to get that job because of your hair?
I don't know about that job, but before this, I just found it about a week ago. And before that, I've been looking for jobs since mid-May, and everything had fallen through, basically. A couple of places said, oh, we'll call you. And I've gone in for an interview with, I guess, a more conservative manager or whatever, and they've looked at me and gone, well, the position's been filled.
So did you get many people reacting, like maybe when you're going to school, many people react to the way you look?
Well, I live in West Van, and I was waiting at a bus stop last night. Somebody actually stopped their car, stared at me for a couple of minutes, and drove away. It's really sort of embarrassing.
Do you mind that?
Well, not really. It depends. Like, I had a conversation with a lady at a bus stop, and she's sitting there going, why do you do that? You could be very pretty if you didn't do that. And it's like, you sit there and go, oh. It makes you feel sort of bad if they put you down, but I don't mind people looking and saying, how did you do that, or why did you do that? That doesn't bother me.
Do you explain to maybe older people that ask you questions like that at bus stops? Do you say why?
Yeah, basically. I answer any questions they ask me. I don't volunteer information. I don't sit there with a sign saying, I did this because, but...
Well, why do you? Why do you?
Why? I like the color orange. I like short hair. So short orange hair is where it's at, basically. So.
Subculture has tended to glorify masculinity. Young women often get lost in such groups.
We asked Stephanie, a 19-year-old punk, if she saw any discrimination in her group.
You mean like within the punk subculture? I think that women occasionally do get lost in the punk subculture, and they shouldn't be, because punk started out as an anti-oppressive philosophy, right? So to me, it seems hypocritical to call yourself a punk and then to be sexist, because in doing that, you're contributing to the oppression of women. So I do see a lot of punks that I consider hypocritical really pushing women to the side, degrading them, even though they shouldn't be. So yeah, I see it happening too in a lot of areas where it shouldn't be. This is one of them. So maybe, you know, a lot of women punks are really working against that, and it's easier to overcome with people who are a lot more open-minded. But yeah, it is harder to be a woman even in something like this, because it's harder to gain acceptance. It's easier to be labeled a trendy when you're a woman. It's easier for people not to take your politics seriously because you're a woman. So yeah, it does get difficult at times.
Although punks are abhorrent to many people, psychologists such as Dr. Saul Levine of the newspaper column Youth Clinic agree that youth subculture is a healthy thing. Subculture groups are often a substitute for traditional support bodies such as religious groups.
I believe in karma. That's about all. From the Hare Krishnas, because I went and ate there, but I'm not really into their movement. But I believe if you do something good to someone, something else will happen good in return.
Religion? Nothing, really. I'm not an antichrist. I'm not a Jehovah, I'm not a Christian, I'm nothing.
I'm not a religious person at all.
Organized religion I'm not fond of because it deceives too many people, and it makes it difficult for them to make their own choices about their own lives. Too many of their choices are dictated to them. To me, organized religion frequently is an oppressive thing. I don't like what I've seen it do to a lot of people.
Like youth of the 1960s, the politics of young people involved in subcultures tends to be on the radical side.
Leftist, basically. Veering towards anarchism.
Although they seem very different from the hippies, young people today hold many of the ideals valued by the youth of the 1960s. With such a diversity of youth subcultural groups, it seems impossible for young people of the 1980s to unite in order to change what they see as wrong in society.
I can. A lot of people are really concerned. Like, the older generation says, young people, all they care about is going out and partying and having a good time, but I doubt it. I don't think so. All my friends are really concerned with current issues. Like peace.
Change. Well, I'd like to ban the bomb. I was watching the Live Aid thing on Saturday. I'd really like to stop the hunger in the world and increase employment in Vancouver and BC.
What these young people want to change most of all is society's attitudes towards youth.
I'd like to change people's attitudes towards young people. I'd like to make people understand that we're not actually a bunch of freaks. We do actually have something to say, and if they'd only listen.
A lot of people are very quick to dismiss you. Because punk has been around for so long and because it's been so badly co-opted, people just tend to go, oh, freaks, and ignore you completely.
I think youth is portrayed really badly by the media, but I think it's been like that since the 50s or whatever. Since the 20s and the flappers, youth has been looked upon badly by the older generation. They've laughed at them and said, what are these silly children doing? They're going to ruin everything we worked so hard to attain. And that's basically what's happening now. That's what's going to happen 20 years from now, and 40 years from now.
For Youth Focus, I'm Lynn Price.
And I'm Jocelyn Sampson.